This is a Clock Shelves Podcast Network production.
Everyone, and welcome to another episode of MCU and Me. As always, I'm Paul Casey, and I am joined by one of my new friends. Go ahead and reintroduce yourself, sir.
I am the great Ellsworth.
Welcome back to the show, Ellsworth. No Kevin this time because, well, he couldn't be bothered, and he said, I think you guys can handle it, and I think he's right, actually.
I think we can.
We are continuing on with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and this week we're going to be talking about four episodes, The Hub, The Well, Repairs, and The Bridge. And so this one of these episodes in particular follows up on Thor the Dark World, which of course we just put that episode out not too long ago. But I gotta say, out of these four episodes, and I watched them all sort of back to back to back to back, in my opinion, The Hub and The Well were much better than Repairs and The Bridge. And, you know, we're still, I know where you're, we were talking about it before we record, you know, before we started, but where you're at now, you're actually into season two now. So, you know, we're still trying to not necessarily give too much away for people who may be watching this Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. for the first time. But you kind of understand, I think, I mean, not that you didn't know because of, you know, like Captain America, the Winter Soldier and stuff, but you've obviously seen some stuff going forward that means a bit more when kind of looking back on these episodes. But one of the things we've talked about so far in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. discussions is how the story was a bit slow kind of leading up to Civil War, but it's the Winter Soldier. And I feel like it still is the case, but as I've kind of said, I feel like these ones so far are still engaging enough. Like, I feel like people who, you know, may have left after, you know, two or three episodes because it didn't capture their interest right away, I feel like if they would have gotten to this point, they might have stuck around even before the big, you know, Winter Soldier sort of thing. But that's just my thought.
Oh, no, definitely. As a first-time watcher, I mean, again, yes, I am a little further ahead now. But as a first-time watcher, once you get to this point, you're a little more invested in some of the characters. You know, you're going to get some, you're getting some more clues during these episodes that are really going to keep you wanting to watch, because now you're going to start to get, not only some of the questions are going to get answers, the questions are going to get more questions, and, you know, you just want to dive farther down that rabbit hole. I believe by the time you've watched up to episode 10. But yeah, that first episode, The Hub, you know, we get a little bit, I definitely say they were better episodes. I like that you get Ward and Fitz in the field together. You know, they're Ukraine or Georgia or something like that. And Ward's, you know, contact isn't there, and it's Fitz who kind of saves the day by being able to, like, put the electric back on and shit. But, you know, it was cool to see him in the field.
I mean, personally,
the hub, you get the hub, you get to see, like, the central area of S.H.I.E.L.D., so to speak. You know, the whole, I feel like the whole episode is this, you know, there's still this whole cloak and dagger thing going on with the, you know, they're showing you that nobody really kind of knows everything going on. You know, Sky wants to know some information, but they don't have clearance, and the rest of the team just takes it as, oh, no problem, but she doesn't like that. And then Coulson, you know, tells her trust the system, but then he's being played too by, you know, that chick who's telling him to trust the system?
And I feel like part of a thing like where, and you know, you could say it's kind of reflecting, you know, what's going on now and whatever, but that is very much a thing with the military and the government, for better or worse, you know, where not everybody has all of the information. There isn't transparency in all of that stuff. And sometimes I think that's for a good reason. But you very much see, because we are, like you said, we're invested in these characters at this point. So it's easy for somebody who's in the war room, basically, to just say, okay, well, there is no extraction plan. But we as the audience, we know Ward and we know Fitz, and we don't want to see them die. They're not just, you know, random person, you know, random agents number one and two for us, right, like they are for some of the people, the higher ups at SHIELD. And I think that's kind of where that comes in, is the fact that we know that, and I mean, everybody is somebody to somebody else, obviously, but they don't necessarily think that way. You're just, you know, you're just another number to them. And when you're gone, there will be somebody else to come in and take your place. And I do, to go along with what you said, I definitely like Ward and Fitz together. And you could start to see, you know, Fitz a little bit coming into his own, especially with how he's jealous of Ward.
This builds something later on, and it's not something we see in these episodes, but you probably know what I'm talking about. And them together builds on something that happens later on, and that's what makes that later on that much more shock value.
Yes.
Without giving anything away.
Yeah, I know. You know what I mean?
That whole relationship between the two of them.
And it's like I said, it's interesting because, like, you start to see, as much as I love, you know, Fitzsimmons together, the fact that we get to see them sort of apart is pretty good as well, because like
she fucking stuns somebody, doesn't she?
Yeah, it's your guy Sitwell.
She breaks the rules. She's not even a rule breaker. She breaks the rules and stuns Sitwell.
I mean, I'd argue, giving a minor spoiler with what's to come in the cinematic universe overall, I'd say he deserves much worse. But
yeah, I mean, yeah. And I think the only other two main key points from this episode are, you know, at the end of the episode, we get, you know, a little piece of the sky past pie, that, you know, we get this little bit of information, even though there's a lot of blackout shit, red tape around it. And the other last bit of thing that we get in that episode is Coulson is denied his own files. He can't even access his own death files.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, that's arguably one of the, and it's so funny. Like, I love the fact that you're liking this show, because, like, we've talked about sort of on the podcast, you know, all of these episodes covering Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the fact that, you know, people left the show and what, like viewers decided after a few episodes they didn't necessarily like it and whatever. And there were a few people that I know that said that they didn't watch the show, or they haven't watched the show, because they don't know any of the characters or any of the actors or anything like that. And I just look and I'm just like, well, yeah, but that's the whole point, is like, you don't know who the, but to me, I think the writing is so well done on this show and others as well. But, you know, this show in particular, where you don't know who, except for Coulson, you don't know who any of these people are. But by episode, like, you know, 4, 5, 6, which we covered last time, you're starting to care about them. And now we're into, you know, episode 7 through 10, and you're having all of these major things where certain things are getting answered, certain things are getting set up, like you were just mentioning. But you also have, like, that overarching thing of, like, you know, Coulson and his death and Tahiti and all of that sort of stuff that they set up early on, and they're still sort of playing with that, and it still at least to me, it still keeps you invested.
Oh yeah, you still want to learn at this point, and now even more so, because now it's even a bigger mystery, and now they have the sky stuff. And that's what I'm saying. Then you get down, you know, you get through all these episodes and you get into the next batch. And right before you know it, they throw you another bone that you weren't even expecting.
Yeah.
You know, they are the new 084 is what's keeping me like locked and loaded, ready to see what happens next. So continuing on, I guess, did we make it to the well?
That's the next one. Yeah.
And this is the one that takes place right after Dark World, right?
Four? Yes. This is the one that I probably, out of all four of these. Now, again, don't get me wrong. I liked the hub.
This is probably the best one.
Yes, I would say so.
The best, without a doubt.
So I have to ask you. So this is the first sort of instance of, and again, you know, at the beginning of the series, we saw where they carried over a bit of the Iron. I mean, we see it throughout. We're going to actually see it again in another episode or two, but they carry over the Extremis thing from Iron Man 3. But this is arguably the first time in this series where they do a tie-in with the movies, and as you've seen, probably they continue to do that a little bit here and there with all of the or at least most of the movies going forward. Now, this clearly takes place right after Thor: The Dark World, like literally they're picking up the pieces of in England, I believe it is. But what did you think of this episode and how it sort of ties in? Because as much as, you know, some of the stuff like with Coulson, you know, they reference his death and whatever, we don't see, and I think it's as a positive, we don't necessarily see too much of the film part of it because they don't want to rely too heavy on that. As we've talked about in previous ones, this is just another pocket of this universe. But this episode is very much a tie-in with the film while also standing on its own. So, like, how do you feel about this episode? Like, do you think they balanced it well? Do you think it could have been done better?
Without a doubt. I think they did a perfect job because, like you said, they tied in. We're in a location that was actually in the film where everything fell. So, boom, we're in the world. We're in the same world. We know we're in the same universe. We're good. We tie in. We get to see some of the technology. So we know that, you know, maybe in the future we're going to see some more of that. We don't know, but we know that it ties right in. And then what they do is they layer that very nicely by giving us more of the mythology of that world where this stuff came from, where these dark elves, the Asgardian universe, like, they give us a little bit more of that world that we don't get in the film. You know, they open up a whole, like you said, another pocket of the universe for us to look into, and how, you know, that mythology has been around for a very long time. And you know, the way they incorporate it, you know, the, so to speak, magic and the item, so to speak, is very done very well.
And I think they did a very good job with, like we said, keeping it so that it is, you know, it does tie into to Thor and to that the Dark World in particular. But it's also almost, I don't want to say it's a sequel, you know, it's because I mean, obviously it takes place right after. But it's not so much a sequel as it is just another, because it's another story of another Asgardian, you know, like it does show us there's more than just Thor and Odin and Lady Sif and, you know, all of them. Like, there are more Asgardians out there doing their own thing. Like, he even, the character mentions at one point, he's asked, like, did you ever meet Thor or whatever? And he's just like, no. He's like, I was just like a random soldier. Like, no, I didn't meet the guy who's going to become king of basically the entire universe. Like, he's like, no, I didn't. And so I think that shows another good aspect, because, you know, it's almost sort of what this show is about, as we talked about, I believe in the first batch of episodes that we did, where the whole show is sort of, because it's based on Coulson, which is the guy you wouldn't expect to be the center of a story. And so This guy, this Asgardian, is sort of the same thing. He, you know, he's not Thor. He's not the guy that you would expect to be the center of a story. He's just a random soldier. And now he's, you know, at the centerpiece of this episode. Another thing,
he's,
I think,
he's not just any soldier. He's a berserker.
Yeah. But I think another thing they did really well was they used this opportunity to give us more backstory on Ward and May.
Yes.
And I know you in particular, you mentioned this in one of the previous ones, you were waiting for kind of the backstory on May. And I think in the next one, we get a lot, it's one of the next two, we get a lot more of that in particular. But I know that you were very much looking forward to the backstory of May. So I got to ask, did it live up to what you had in your, like, what you thought it would in your mind?
I mean, you know, it's, I feel like they haven't given us everything. And I mean, I actually, like, kind of know they haven't, but yes and no. It gives you an idea that she has a handle on somewhat of, you know, what happened, you know, some of the stuff she's been through. But I don't often have expectations, and I guess I did have some, and I guess they could have done me a little better. But you know, I also feel like I focused a lot on the Ward backstory, you know, in that, which, you know, they still gave, you know, there's still more to come.
Yeah.
But, you know, you get an idea of why he's a little messed up in the head.
So one of the other big things that sort of happens in this episode
I want to know what you thought about what do you think about May? Like, I mean you knew what was going to happen, but do you think they did her justice? I mean,
well, my favorite part about it, and I still know, because this is my first time rewatching, so I do know even where you're at in season two, I still know a bit more than you do with, you know, that character. But the one line that I like in particular, I'm not going to be able to quote it exactly, but like when Ward touched the weapon or whatever it was, you know, he started to see all of these things that he had long since buried, because he, you know, they don't use the word, but he compartmentalizes everything.
Yeah.
That's how he's able to do his job, is he doesn't think about everything else. He just thinks about, you know, whatever the job at task is. But May, at the end, like Ward says to her, like, how did you deal with seeing all that stuff? And she says that she sees it every day, which is a very, you know, strong thing. And not to give too much of a peek behind the curtain, but you and I were sort of talking before we started about, you know, how certain things stay with you, you know, for what, but various things, of course, you know, stay with you, and you start to, you know, you start to learn from them, and so that you don't necessarily repeat some of the same mistakes or whatever. And I feel like that's a little bit of what she was implying there, is that sort of thing. And that, it, to me, was one of the best moments for her, because as much as we learned about her, or, you know, we still have to learn about her, I think we learned a lot in that one particular line of dialogue where no matter what she's gone through, no matter what the actual story is of the cavalry, because clearly everybody seems to get it wrong.
Yeah, but because we learn more about that in the next episode, I believe.
Yeah, but just the fact that to her, she carries it with her all the time. And so it's not necessarily this, you know, sort of grandiose thing where everybody has built it up as like, oh, she's this amazing, whatever. Like to her, it's almost like a mark of shame, and she wants to keep it at the forefront, so that she doesn't do it again, sort of thing. And that was, I thought, one of the most telling things about her character. And probably one of the best bits of character growth for her, at least at this point in the series.
Okay, cool.
And one of the other things that we find out at the end, of course.
Yeah.
What did you think about this? So, we find out that May and Ward are sleeping together. What did you think about that?
Yo, never saw it coming. Never saw it coming. They did a great job. Never saw it coming. He blew off Sky, who wanted to talk, to fucking go in May's room. I was like, what? I was like, get out of town. No way. This is fucking crazy. Just because, like, they do such a great job of the way those two characters interact the rest of the time. It's perfect.
And that's sort of the thing, and we've talked about it a little bit, I think, in the previous ones, where, you know, it seems or seemed or whatever, however you want to say it, like they were definitely setting up you know, Ward and Sky to be a couple. And so yeah, the fact that he blows her off to then go into May's room, and we get a little bit more of that. I believe in the next episode, or the one after that, perhaps. But the fact that's sort of the thing. I didn't remember when it was coming, but I definitely knew it was coming. But even still, I remember even just watching it recently, and I was like, oh, like, because I don't want to say I didn't remember, but it's
nonchalantly at the end, like bang, like. If you ain't paying attention, like, you can miss it.
Yeah. Like, and the other brief thing that happens at the very end of that episode is that Coulson, you know, you mentioned how in the previous one Coulson was denied his file. He has a brief nightmare regarding Tahiti.
Yes, he does, doesn't he?
See, I don't know why point, that response was amazing.
I know everything, so like, I forget some of the stuff, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I know what Tahiti really is. I know who was in charge of Tahiti.
Yeah. It's a magical place.
You know. So now we got. I'm gonna be honest. This next episode was probably the one I didn't like the most.
I would agree. I do have to say, so recently I have been doing over the last probably month or two months, whatever, I've been doing a deep rewatch of Grey's Anatomy. I decided to go all the way back to the very beginning and start the series over again. And there's the guy who was the ghost, basically, in this episode. He was a recurring character. He was one of the doctors that came in one of the seasons. And spoiler alert for mid-season of Grey's Anatomy, for any of you listening out there, he ends up dying. And I just watched that episode not too long ago. So then see him in this, where basically he died and he's a ghost or whatever, I'm just like, man, this guy can't catch a break.
Typecast like a motherfucker, huh? Like, what do you get cast as? The guy that always dies. But shit, they're always giving me work. I mean, yeah, no, it's, you know, you had You know, first you had, I think they were like fucking doing pranks or some dumb shit on the plane in the beginning.
Yeah, because that's where the legend, I guess, of May starts to build a little bit, and they all, like, because they've been talking a little bit about it, about, you know, the cavalry and whatever, but that's where the legend, at least for, like, Sky, starts to build up a bit, is because Fitzsimmons talks about how they haven't, you know, done pranks or whatever, and, like, they could pull pranks on Sky because she never went to the academy and stuff like that. And I thought that was really, because I feel like that's something that when you're in an enclosed space like that with people day in and day out, I feel like that's the sort of thing that you would do, right?
Is, oh yeah.
You know, and especially for those two.
You got to haze the newbie. You know, she's the fresh one. You know, you got to haze. A little hazing never hurt nobody.
But I feel like especially for those two, for Fitzsimmons, because as much as, you know, just two episodes prior, we got to see Fitz be, you know, like out in the field and sort of, you know, help save the day and whatever. And we've seen Gemma even where she is, you know, she steps up to the plate. And I don't even mean where she got sit well, but like in one of the previous ones where,
yeah,
you know, she decided to step up and whatever. And, but
she definitely does.
But even still, even with that, those two out of everybody else, I mean, other than Sky, they're, I don't want to say immature isn't the right word, but they just don't necessarily have, because they don't have a lot of like field experience. Like Coulson and May and Ward are more stoic, I guess.
Yeah, you have the three of them, and then you have the other three. It's kind of like a split.
Yeah.
You know, and that's this episode. Yeah, you learn more about May, that she's actually dealt with a superhuman, because they think that the girl is a superhuman at first. They think she has telekinesis or something. And that's where you learn a little bit more about her story from Sky, because, or about May, because Sky questions her methods or something, and Coulson, you know, basically is like, no, I trust her methods, and, you know, this is why. But we learn that, you know, that the dealing with the superhumans is the reason why she left. That whole story is the reason she left field.
Right.
And is this the first time we hear about the fridge?
I believe so.
Because I know it's mentioned in this episode, because that's where they're going to take the girl. But I don't remember if this was the first time it was mentioned or not.
I think it is. To me, it's not like a major issue, but I think one of the reasons that, like you said, you didn't necessarily like this one, I don't necessarily like it either. I think one of the issues for me is that this is it's very much, it's a bottle episode, except for the beginning where where the girl is in her whatever town she's from or whatever. Almost the entire rest of the episode takes place on the plane. And that's not a bad thing. I think bottle episodes in television can be, you know, can be, when they're done well, I think they're very good. But I just feel like this is one of those ones where maybe the budget went a little too over on other episodes or with special effects or what have you. So they needed to do, you know, an episode that just takes place on the plane. But I also feel like this is one of those ones, and we talked about this in past episodes of you know, when discussing Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., where this is a very much a case of the week sort of thing, you know. And we talked about how, like, you know, Fringe and the X-Files and that kind of got into that at a certain point, because to get new viewers in, especially early on in shows like this, you still have to do your case of the week thing, because the network doesn't want you doing all serialized story. And I feel like this was very much the case of the week episode, because the previous two, as much as they had, you know, the specific cases that they, or, you know, whatever that they were doing, like Ward and Fitz going to, you know, the Ukraine or whatever, and we're also going to see the Hub, there was still a lot of, you know, layers of things, whether it was answering stuff or setting up stuff or whatever. And the Well had, you know, like we said, it referenced the Thor movie, and you know, it definitely gave you more of Ward's backstory, and like we talked about, a little bit of May and stuff like that. But I feel like this one was almost full on, like, case of the week. Like, if you took this episode out, except for the stuff where we have about May, the little bits of information, I feel like if you took this episode out, you wouldn't be missing anything, in my opinion.
It wouldn't, the storyline would still run almost seamlessly.
Yeah.
You just wouldn't know that, like you said, you wouldn't know that little bit about May. And like, I feel like they tried to use this as a little turning point for her.
Yeah, and like, to me,
because of what she does at the end of the episode, you know, they tried to kind of show, like, you know, maybe she's not who everybody thinks she really is anymore, or, you know, they know she's not who she used to be, and they think she's one thing, but she's not even that either.
Which isn't a bad thing. Like, I like that. And like, I have the Wikipedia page here, and it, like, one of the lines is, May later pulls a prank on Fitz, revealing that she is healing. And like, I like the way that that's worded. But like I said, except for that little bit, which I could argue could have been put in any other episode, you know, I when it comes to TV, especially serialized TV like this, I don't necessarily like when they do just an episode that doesn't serve the overall plot. And again, obviously you could say there's the things with May does that, but I don't think it's enough, in my opinion, to redeem the entire episode.
Like you said, they probably had to do a bottle episode, and whoever was like, we still want to keep it. They probably, that was all they could probably sneak the fuck in to keep it, you know, somewhat storylined. You know what I mean?
Right. And the weird part, like, I'm looking here, and it's, you know, because Kevin's not here, I only have like two credit notes, but like, that episode was actually written by Marissa Tankerowan and Jed Whedon, which are two of the co-creators and showrunners of the series. So it's kind of odd to me that's the episode out of all of these, the four that we're discussing, that I don't like, is the one that was actually written by the people who, you know, oversee the show overall.
Well, I guess, you know, like I said, they were over budget. The studio, you know, maybe they had a different idea for the story, and the studio was like, you're getting too storyline. We need some, like you said, we need some story of the week. And they, you know, this was their attempt at throwing in little pieces of information that keep the storyline going. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I have no idea, but I see, like you said, that's it. Other than that, there is nothing else there. You can take it right out. And even that, you know, like you said, you can literally slip that in any episode, any conversation, at any point in any of these other episodes, because they're always talking, you know, similar about the same, you know, they're always kind of re-referencing some shit from time to time. So you could literally throw it in there at any point.
Yeah. And like I said, to me, that's not enough. Even though it does serve the overall thing, it's not enough to redeem this episode, in my opinion. Because even the next one, The Bridge, we get to see Mike Peterson again. We have, you know, a bit more of the Extremis thing. We get to see the girl in the flower dress come back, and we set up what the next, you know, sort of mini arc, at least for the season, is going to be, which is hearing about the clairvoyant.
Yep.
And like, even like, to me, that was like, again, and I still think the first two were better than the second two, but I definitely still like this one better than the repairs episode.
Yeah, the bridge, definitely. Like you said, we get to see the extremist thing. We're introduced to pretty much, or we get to see that dude, Poe.
Yep.
A little bit more. And, you know, then we get Coulson joining Mike. Is this the episode where we get to see Peterson at the training camp?
Yes, and he asks, he has one of my favorite lines at one point where he's just like, did I beat Captain America's time?
That's where he's pushing the bulldozer or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that a lot. That's what I'm liking about the show more and more too, is those little bitty just throwaway lines that, like, you know, the first time you hear like them name drop, it seems a little off. And after a while, like, you're, again, especially after the Dark World episode, you're kind of in the same universe. So them talking about these characters, even though you're not seeing them, you know, later on we get some more of the, you know, I'm not going to call them, they are the B characters. Some of the B characters start to show up a little bit more. So it ties in. But this episode does. It sets up the mini arc. Her name's... Is this where we learn it is Raina?
I think so, because we saw her in... It was the girl... Yeah, girl in the flower dress, but I don't think they had given her a name at that point.
Because I'm pretty sure this is where we find out it's her name, because I have her name at this point, and I have next to it that it's... because Sky does the video footage, it's where she reads the lips of the clairvoyant.
Yeah.
Isn't that what that's about in the jail? My notes are a little, again, man, I when I'm watching, I just start jotting shit.
Yeah, because her and Poe are talking, and that's where we get the first, I think that's the first reference to the clairvoyant. And then later on, Poe is in the car with her. And he's just like, oh, I just spoke to the clairvoyant and whatever. And Raina's just like, will you tell me more? And he's like, of course not. Like,
right. So we learn there's that standoffish, and that, you know, there's a circle in that circle. I did make a note of this. I did like when they're tracking down the soldiers, because they get the facial thing and they go visit the Coulson and Ward, and Coulson pulls out the old school card for the winning of the lottery.
Yeah.
I just like that. I like the thinking outside the box.
That's, I mean,
do you know what I mean? Cause it's just like one of those weird things that, like, I don't know. It was just like, it's something I didn't expect them to do, but at the same time, like, I kind of could see him doing that.
And I think that speaks to his character, is because he's very much like that, he's not an old man, but he's not necessarily a young man.
But he's
either.
Into the classic, man. He's got the classic car. He loved that fucking watch.
Yep. Like,
he's a classic guy. He's got classic taste. You know, he had the Captain America classic set of vintage cars. He's a vintage guy. What he is, he likes vintage.
Yes. And one of the other things, like you mentioned, like, it's that he's out with Ward and whatever, and over these few episodes, even, we get to see some of these characters interact in certain ways, and that's one of the things that I like. Like I mentioned before about, you know, like, Fitzsimmons are more, you know, because they're not necessarily as stoic as, you know, Ward and May and even Coulson to a certain extent. But we got to see Ward and Fitz together. And that was like a very interesting dynamic that we hadn't really seen before. And even in that same episode? Yeah, where Sky and and Simmons are together, and we don't necessarily see those two interact just by themselves that often. And even when we see, it's for a different reason, but when we see Ward and May, when she's just like, you know, you don't need to, like, she thinks that he's trying to act like her boyfriend when he's really just like, no, I was thinking about the mission and whatever. And now even this scene that you were just talking about, where it's Ward and Coulson, even though he's, you know, a bit more on the, you know, kind of no-nonsense side, he has a really dry sense of humor, and he brings that out, especially by comparison to Ward, who's just, like, seemingly straight-laced, you know, basic, almost military guy through and through. And then, you know,
we're here for a job.
Yeah, and then Coulson gets to, like, mention about, you know, I've had, you know, I was with a cellist and, like, you know, all this stuff. And, like, he makes, like, these little... he gets to be a human for a few minutes, even if the other guy that he's talking to doesn't necessarily reciprocate.
I actually do enjoy Coulson, the way they've, like you said, his humor, his dry, like, I've grown to enjoy it more and more and look forward to it as it's, like, I'm like, what's he gonna say next? What's gonna come out of his mouth next? Like, because it's always something, like, very dry, like, wit, and it's usually something kind of witty, and, like, it definitely brings a lot more to the character.
And
you know, so which makes, you know, again, you know, you're getting at this point, you should have a very, very, you know, semi to large attachment to Coulson.
And that's what I was going to say, was, like, the fact that, you know, he, and I said it a little earlier, he was arguably the unlikely character to be the star of the TV show, because out of, you know, all of them in the Avengers, he's not the one, like, you would even think, you know, like Nick Fury or Maria Hill would be the ones to get that, you know, the TV series about how S.H.I.E.L.D. works and whatever. But excuse me, instead it's Coulson, and because he was the background guy pretty much, and now the whole show is arguably about the background guy or the team of background people by comparison of, you know, Iron Man and Captain America and whatever, because they're obviously out there front and center, and these are the people who are kind of working behind the scenes and doing, I don't want to say the real work, because, you know, obviously the Avengers do the real work as well, but they're doing the other stuff, you know, everything that Iron Man and Captain America and, you know,
they're the other guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, but for real though, you're right, but they're also badass. Like, you learn that Coulson, like, he doesn't pull it out all the time, but every now and then he shows that, like, he once was pretty fucking badass, and he can do it once in a while, you know? And at the same time, he knows how to put the right, you know, he's mastered beyond that, the, you know, putting together this, you know, right team. But, you know, in the end, I can't really say anything else after that, but it does help. Like I said, you have at this point, you know, you've seen enough of him. You know something happened. You're starting to feel for him. You see that he's got questions, and they're not getting answered. And, you know, like you said, they're doing the work. They're in the trenches doing the work. So you feel for this guy. So where this episode goes at the end, and, you know, the fact that Mike is, you know, kind of the one, you know, you don't see it coming. But then at the same time, once it happens, it's kind of like, man, you know, as someone who has a kid, hate to say it, you do anything for your kid.
Well, that was what I wanted to ask you, was because this ends very much on a cliffhanger, and not all of the episodes do. A lot of them, it's, and I don't just mean, like, we, you know, because we talked about the previous one where it was, you know, sort of case of the week sort of thing, but a lot of them do wrap up the major story of the episode by the end of that particular episode, but this one very much left a cliffhanger. And just looking at the page here, so this episode, The Bridge, aired December 10th, 2013, and the next episode didn't air until January 7th of 2014. So they had about a month break in between there. So it makes sense that, you know, because of Christmas and whatever.
They left, yeah.
So it makes sense that they would have a cliffhanger. But I did want to ask, what did you think about this? And obviously, as we said, you're a bit more ahead, you know, you're farther ahead now in the show than what the episodes that we're talking about. But what did you think about this concept that now the bad guys have taken Coulson and they also want to find out caused him to be or how he was resurrected?
I think it was like, yeah, they want to know what happened to him after he died. Like I said, you didn't see the switch coming. Like, really, I didn't. At least I didn't. Like, I thought, you know, it was going to be the kid from Mike or something. And, you know, then it would be like, how do we get Peterson? You know, I didn't see it. But then when it was Coulson, it actually made sense. Like, not like that they wanted someone in charge. More sense once you learn what, you know, they're looking for. And now it makes sense that they want him, not why they wanted him completely, because you still don't know. But now it makes sense that this is a big deal, that whatever happened to him, whatever fucking happened in Tahiti, however magical Tahiti is, it must be really magical, they want to know too.
Right. And that's one of the things that I like I said, and I'll continue to say it. I think the show sets up these really good stories, and I mentioned it, I think it was in the previous one, but I said how, you know, like, obviously they don't have the big budget to do stuff, and I think that's one of the other reasons why people kind of got disappointed, was they wanted the Avengers every week, and we talked about it, I think, in the first batch of episodes, like, that wasn't going to happen. But I think that with the show, they've done a fantastic job of, like, I made reference to one of the guys who is a creative, at least he was a creative mind in wrestling, where it was accentuate the positives and hide the negatives. So they don't have the big budget to do, you know, all of the stuff that you could do in the Avengers or Iron Man or Thor or whatever. So let's not try. Let's just do really intriguing stories, because just as simple as a fake out of it's not Mike for the kid, it's Coulson for the kid, and then he gets taken away and potentially blow, you know, it seems that he's been blown up or whatever, like that. I mean, yeah, there was obviously effects and whatever that went into that episode, but, or, you know, into that scene, but that is an intriguing, at least to me, an intriguing enough story that it makes up for the fact that they don't have an alien portal opening up like they do in the Avengers or whatever.
Yeah, people are just, they tear Marvel and they're spoiled. They want, like you said, they want a Marvel type, you know, and it had Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So they, like you said, they are expecting something bigger, I feel like. And I get it, but I don't, because you don't need that. I mean, you know, not to bring it up, because I know it is a whole nother thing, and we've mentioned it lightly, but I mean, they took a group of people, stuck them on an island, and made it work. You know what I mean? Like, you develop good characters, and it works. And they've been developing good characters here. We have some good story arcs that have been developing. Yeah, some of them have been a little rocky at the start here. I will admit, some of them have been. We got a late start on some other characters, but they're really starting to pick up. And as the season goes on, as someone who's watching it for the first time, as the season goes on, they layer and develop even more.
And, like, so, okay, so you just referenced, you know, Lost and whatever. And I kind of point to that with what I said earlier, where people who, you know, and it's some of my Losty friends who have said, you know, yeah, I never really got into that because
you don't know somebody who
that was it. Like they didn't know the characters or they didn't know the actors or whatever. And I'm just like, you didn't know, except for maybe Matthew Fox or Dominic Monaghan, because one of them was on Party of Five and one of them was in Lord of the Rings.
But I never even watched Party of Five. But I knew he was on it, but I didn't watch it.
But so that's my point. Is like, you didn't know who half of them were. But like Evangeline Lilly, who played Kate, now she's in the Marvel movies. Like she's one of the biggest actresses in the world right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you know them now because... I mean, they've had other things as well, but like that helped make them known. Like, I'm pretty sure, like, you know, we talked about it when, you know, on, I think it was like the first one, Kevin mentioned that he had no idea who like Chloe Bennett was. Like she had like two credits to her name, but now she has, you know, she's out there doing stuff now. And I would argue very much it's because of this show.
Yeah. I didn't know who any of these people were other than, you know, the ones that have been in the universe. I didn't know, but at this point, I also like that if I'm going into a show, I don't want to necessarily have someone I know all the time in a show where, you know, I got to, you know, yes, you can depict, but sometimes it's hard to take that character out of another character. And I like not having somebody from something I know. I enjoy that sometimes. You know, I get to build, you get to give me somebody fresh and new. And like you said, give me a new actor or actress to follow or, you know, yes. Like you like, look, man, I mean, a lot of the Lost cast, you know, some of them have done some stuff and or there are people who do know the stuff they did before. But most of them, if they did it before, I didn't know about it till after Lost. You know, Lost put me onto a lot of those people.
Same.
And, you know, I'm grateful for it. Just like this. It's cool to see. So now I'll hear, you know, I heard my grandmother watching TV and I heard the dude who plays Sawyer, you know, is in some show with Kevin Costner about Western. But I heard his voice. I just heard his voice. I was like, oh, shit, Sawyer. Where you at, bro?
A friend of mine who's been on this podcast... Tim, for anybody who you know, is a consistent listener of the show, he messaged me, this is going back maybe 2 months or something as of this recording, and he was watching Community for the first time because now it's on Netflix. Now, I've watched that show. I love that show. But he was watching it for the very first time, and he got into Lost because myself... And he and I have I met him through a mutual friend, Pat, who is also a Losty and things like that. And we kind of talked to him about, hey, you know, Lost and whatever. And so he ended up getting, you know, he watched Lost and that, and he liked it. In Community, the guy who plays Sawyer shows up in one of the episodes. And it was actually while Lost was still on the air. So for some people, it was like, oh, hey, it's that guy, whatever. But like... For him, watching it all these years later, he sends me a screenshot and he's just like, I'm up to the episode of Community where Sawyer is here. And he doesn't refer to him as Josh Holloway, which is the actor. And I know a lot of people don't necessarily refer to actors, but he specifically, like, he knows him as Sawyer. So to him, it was like, hey, Sawyer's in this episode. And like, other than Coulson, I think the only one who had like a good amount of credits was... Ming-Na Wen, who plays Mei. Like, she was the voice of Mulan in, like, the animated Mulan movie. And,
right.
You know, she had like, a... I mean, obviously, she's done way more than that. People don't come after me. But I think she was the only other one who had, like, a lot of credits. But, like, now... And I think I actually saw a thing not too long ago where the girl who plays Simmons mentioned... I think it's her fiance or her husband or something like that. She posted a thing on Instagram where she was on the verge of going back to England because she had done some acting. She moved to LA, stayed with somebody that she barely knew, and she'd been in LA for a year or two and she hadn't gotten any jobs. And so she was getting ready to move back to England because she's like, okay, I guess this isn't going to work out. And then the next day, she went into an audition. She met the guy who is now her fiance, and it was like the thing that she had done, I think, right before Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Not that it was like a major thing, but it was like one of the only other big things that she'd done, which, you know, like, again, they may not have many things before that, but still, like, she had had like one or two things which gave her arguably the confidence and whatever to keep going that we now see her on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you know? So, like, I think it's great that it is unknown people, because like you said, you don't want to see, because if you had like, you know, a Josh Holloway on here, not that you wouldn't eventually be able to see past that, because like even the guy from Lost who played Jin was on Hawaii Five-0, you know, but even still
was Jorge Garcia. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. But even still for the first like few episodes, especially because it's, you know, in Hawaii and whatever, you're looking at it going, you're Jin. Like, if you're a fan of Lost, like, you're looking, like, you're not necessarily seeing him as the character that he plays now. You're seeing him as the previous character that he played, you know, and it's a difficult hurdle. And so, like, I definitely like when a show does something like this where it's, you know, like the unknown casting sort of thing.
You know, that's why I got to respect Matthew Fox, man. Two TV shows that ran fucking like 10 years. A couple of handful of movies and out, done.
I mean, I have my own feelings on Matthew Fox, but to a certain extent, I agree with what you're saying. Yeah,
because after a while, it's hard not to get typecast. I mean, as someone who I'm someone who really, really wants to act. Like, I enjoy it. Like, I have my own web series and stuff like that. I always get kind of typecasted as certain characters because of the way I look. I get that. But, like, I want to do some different stuff. So, like, it's hard because I know I'm going to get typecasted to a certain extent. But, like, I kind of respect that if you can do a couple of, like, really great projects and then just be out, like, I don't really have any shame in that. Like, sometimes it's better to go out, you know, not necessarily on top, but not while you're fucking scraping to try to get work.
How does that thing go, that I don't want to say it this way, it was the line, I can't remember what song it's from, but Cobain used it in his suicide note, you know, it's better to burn out than fade away, sort of thing, you know. And it's not that Fox burned out, but he arguably, I don't want to say he went out on top, but he kind of did, you know. Like you said, he had two very successful shows. And, you know, like you said, a handful of movies, and he got to go out on his own terms.
Right. And, you know, and continue to do what he enjoys doing. Like, I know he's into photography, and from what I understand, he's a pretty good dad, like shit like that. I mean, that means something to me, you know. I like people too, like, you know, certain actors, you know, they are good actors, you know, and he did definitely do a great job with that show. But I also like when I learn how people are outside of that, and, you know, when they're really like, they have some other layers to them that I enjoy, that, you know, it's cool to learn, and, you know.
I agree. And realistically, again, not to get too far into what happens with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, man, it gets so good.
Like, there's a certain character who ends up being, you know, like, they have a lot of shades of gray as opposed to just, you know, whatever. And I'm not gonna, that's all I'm gonna say. Whatever. But this person in real life, if you look at them on social media, fantastic parent, very funny person and whatever. And so you look and it's one of those things, like, to me, that's one of those things that makes a good actor. Like, I always joke that, like, Neil Patrick Harris is one of my favorite actors because he, while he was on How I Met Your Mother, which is in the top five of my all-time favorite shows, except for the last 5 minutes, but for 22 minutes every week, he convinced me that he was straight.
Oh, hell yeah.
You know, and like,
and everything he did, like in the Harold and Kumar movies, like I was convinced that he was straight. Like, he makes you think he's a straight guy.
Yeah. And like that, and like I said, like I'm not gonna say who, I'm not gonna give too much away, but one of the characters on this show, you know, is you know, ends up being, you know, I'll just say shades of gray again. That's how
definitely
I'll,
has some range.
Yeah, and you know, but in real life, fantastic parent, you know, very funny, very. Engaging on social media and whatever, and almost the opposite of what you see on screen. And I think that's a very good, like, that makes me like that person even more than just, hey, I think they did a good job on this TV show that I like.
Oh yeah, no, I get totally. Yeah, I feel you 100% on that. And I get that. Like, yeah, like I said, I get. Like, I used to be a server, and people, when I would come up to them, they would get thrown off because they'd be like, yo, what I expected you to sound like and be like based on what you look like are totally different. Because they expect some big burly dude, because I'm tall, bald, with a big beard, to come all up, and I come in all animated 100 miles an hour, happy-go-lucky, singing and dancing, and it throws people off.
Right,
because it's just, cause like you said, like, you know, but I know that. So when I, you know, when I've done some things in the past, you know, I get typed as a lot of times as the bad guy or the villain or this. Man, I'm the inside of me, I'm the self-sacrificing hero is who I really am, but on the outside, I guess I look like the villain, so I guess I'll be the fucking villain.
I mean, if it were me, and again, I only know you because, like, we have never met in person, you know, like, I know you from doing these episodes that we've done and a few, like, private messages and stuff and just what you post on social media, I would cast you as the, either the main guy or the main guy's funny best friend.
Oh, yeah. I always want to be, like, I'll do a main character, but I want to always, like, I like being the supporting character because I feel like you don't quite have as much pressure on you to, like, carry the whole thing, so you can be a little more relaxed and have fun with the characters a little bit more. I haven't sent you my web series, have I?
No, you have not.
It's a comedy. I should send it to you. You'll get a trip. I'll send you the link and you can check it out.
I would absolutely check it out.
And it's one of those things that, like, whenever somebody watches it, I'm like, watch the outtakes, because the outtakes to me are my favorite, because that's to me where you see the real transition. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Especially someone who's never met me. Like, people who know me and can watch it and they'll be like, holy shit. But people who've never met me, the outtakes is where, like, when you see me break character, it's kind of night and day. And that's where I think it's like, I enjoy it. It's like that to me. That's where you can see, if you don't know me, that's where you can see that's not me in the show.
Well, that would be like something like this, like an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. where everything is so, almost everything is so intense all the time. And then, like, to see outtakes from this.
Oh, I would love to. Cause I'm sure, like, I love watching bloopers and outtakes from stuff, especially when they're serious of scenes and they fuck up and everybody starts laughing. Like, that's, you know,
yeah,
or hearing about how an outtake or blooper ended up becoming, you know, in it, making it in, or whatever the case may be. But
so before we get out of here, I do have to ask you, so you said about, you know, like being like a secondary character, and how we kind of talked about how kind of the whole show is about the secondary characters. But if we were to say Coulson, obviously the main character on this show, and then all the other characters are, you know, secondary to him. So at this point, you know, if you can briefly take out all the other stuff you've seen so far, just up to episode 10, who right now is your favorite secondary character on this show? Meaning, which out of the main characters, who that isn't Coulson is your favorite? Because I know a few episodes ago you said how you wanted to know more about Sky. You were really liking the fact that, you know, Sky was there, but then they were also really starting to give us a bit of the Fitzsimmons storyline and whatever. So at the point of episode 10 now, who's the one that you're, again, you know, we know that you've seen a little but
this is a hard, I'm gonna be honest, it's kind of a hard question, because up until this point, part of me was I was really digging May, like learning a little bit more about May showing a little bit more, but you know, I really see, and it's hard to pull them apart, Fitz and Simmons, but I'm really like, I think it's between the races between the two of them right now.
Okay.
But May up until this point, up until episode 10, it was definitely May, only because I watched more. If I had to pick up until episode 10, I'd say May was my next. You know, I feel like we've seen a little bit maybe more of Ward next to Coulson up until this point. Next maybe May, but I feel like May is definitely my, like, she's a badass. Like, you know, you start to see she got a little bit more, you know, she pulls that prank. Listen, if Ward's tapping it, it has to be good in the bed. So, I mean...
Oh, she. Yeah. Well, she's the kind of woman who could kill you.
She probably takes control of that situation.
Yeah, and that's very exhilarating.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. I'm sure it's fucking very exhilarating. I'm sure it's a little demasculine too, but hey, I don't mind. You know, I mean, shit, I'll let her demasculate me a little bit. Yeah, dude, I really enjoy the show. I'm glad that Kevin and you kind of, you know, put me onto it, had me do this so that I got put onto the show. Kind of halted everything else I'm watching to kind of breeze through that.
Well, I'm glad that you're liking it. I hope everybody out there is, you know, watching along with us and sort of taking this journey, especially if they haven't watched the show before. Even though Kevin isn't here, I'm going to quickly run through some brief credit things that I think are interesting. All of these, everybody who directed episodes of these four episodes, three of them have worked at some point. Two of them worked on Lost, which is something that we always sort of bring it back to. One of the writers worked on Lost, but the biggest name out of all of the credits of these four episodes is that the episode The Well, which was the Thor the Dark World kind of sequel, yeah, the companion, let's put it that way, the companion piece to Thor the Dark World, that episode was actually directed by Jonathan Frakes, who most everybody would know as Riker from Star Trek The Next Generation, and has since gone on to be a very prolific director. So every I'm a big Star Trek fan, so every time I see his name in the credits, you know, I kind of perk up a bit, because I think he's a very good actor, a very good director. So he was one of the ones that definitely stuck out to me. And I thought it was kind of cool that's the episode that he did, because that one was very cinematic in a way, because it was, you know, it had to deal with Thor and all the Asgardians and all that. But like I said, I like that we're you know, continuing on with this series. I like the fact that every so often I'll get a message from you or message with you, and you're already on to season two now and whatever. So I like the fact that we're doing this. Of course, you know, I'm gonna talk to you afterwards about coming back to, you know, keep going with season one here. I hope everybody else is enjoying it. Do we have anything else we want to discuss about episodes 7 through 10 of season 1 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I feel like anybody who's watched, I mean, if you're listening, hopefully you're watching it. If you haven't watched it, definitely watch it. But it's overall, it's been great, dude.
All right. Well, then, until next time, why don't you let them know where they can get in contact with you via social media if they want to keep the conversation going?
You can catch me on Twitter at The Magician. That's THEMAJISHN. Or on Instagram at Ellsworth Certified. That's where you find me.
He has been doing a lot of traveling, so I am getting to see parts of the country that I would have never seen. For me, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at JPGRB. You can follow my secondary Instagram at JPCS.PICS. I try to take at least one picture a day of things I'm doing. A lot of food stuff going on there, and my personal thoughts and feelings on things going on in my life as well. For all clock shelves related things on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, it's at Clock Shelves. That's CLOCKSHELVES. Again, that's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. If you want to support, patreon.com/clockshelves. Once again, CLOCKSHELVES. And the central hub for everything, where you can hear all past episodes, get more information about everybody involved with all things that we do, it's clockshelves.com, CLOCKSHELVES.COM. All right, so thank you, Ellsworth, for being on the episode once again. I think we did a really good job without Kevin. So, Kevin, I know you're probably listening out there, so... thank you, I guess, in a sense, for introducing Ellsworth and I and having enough confidence in us that we were able to do this without you. I think we did a very good job. I hope everyone else agrees. And until next time, thanks for listening, true believers.